Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
Caravaggio was a famous 17th century painter who lived primarily in Italy, and many of his paintings can be seen in the Vatican or in many churches in Rome. Now, like many artists of his time, Caravaggio employed quite a few apprentices. Now, those apprentices wanted to be just like Caravaggio, so they imitated his style and his technique, and why not? They all wanted to be like Caravaggio, a famous European painter. Now, Caravaggio, from time to time, would go to his workshop, and he would supervise his apprentices as they worked on pieces of consigned artwork. Caravaggio would sometimes pause and gaze at a rather hesitant creation from one of his apprentices. Then after a while, he would literally seize or take the paintbrush out of the apprentice's hand, and he himself would apply the finishing touches to the artwork. And by adding a few strokes, the finishing touches to the painting, Caravaggio would turn an apprentice's work into a masterpiece. It was just those few finishing touches that brought the painting to life. The same thing holds true with Jesus and his apostles. Jesus is the master. The apostles are the apprentices. For 3 years, the apostles have tried to imitate Jesus. They have tried to preach, perform miracles, evangelize. Sometimes with success, other times not so successful. They wanted to be just like Jesus. Jesus, in turn, worked with the apostles. For 3 years, he molded them, sculpted them, chiseled away some of the rough edges of the apostles. And yet, it wasn't until Pentecost, in which the Holy Spirit, the other master, comes and applies the finishing touches to Jesus' work. And it was those finishing touches that now the apostles become a masterpiece in the eyes of God. Those finishing touches of the Holy Spirit that we celebrate here today, Pentecost, now the apostles come alive. And see, that's why we consider Pentecost the birthday of our church, because it is at the Pentecost event in which the Holy Spirit descends upon the apostles that now our church comes alive. And so, happy birthday to everyone. Now, recognize all three of the readings for this great event of Pentecost speak to us about the Holy Spirit, how the apostles received the Holy Spirit, and now they're complete. Now they're prepared for ministry, to go carry out the great commission of evangelization that Jesus Christ gave them. Now remember last week in the scripture readings, before Jesus ascends back into heaven, he tells the apostles, go back into Jerusalem and start praying for the Holy Spirit. And they do just that. What's the apostles' disposition? It's one of prayer. The apostles pray before they receive the Holy Spirit so that their heart, their mind, and their soul is open to receive the Holy Spirit. Well, that too must be our disposition, one of prayer always. We should pray every day, several times a day, so that we are constantly receiving the working of the Holy Spirit in and through our life. Think about the first time we received the Holy Spirit at baptism. Our parents, most of us, were infants. They brought us to church, surrounded by the priest at the baptismal font. They prayed before, during, and after the baptism so that we would receive the Holy Spirit. The next time, confirmation, when we were sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, we came to Mass and we celebrated Mass with the bishop or the archbishop. And the church considers the Mass as the highest prayer of our church. And therefore, at the time in which we were sealed with the Holy Spirit, we also were praying. And see, prayer cultivates and it nurtures the proper environment for the Holy Spirit to thrive within us. Prayer is indispensable in the spiritual life. We can't do without it. We must be praying every day, several times a day. Prayer predisposes us to the power of the Holy Spirit working within us. Now, let's skip to the gospel for today. It says, Jesus appeared to the apostles, and he said, "Peace be with you." Then he breathed upon them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The apostles receive the life-giving breath of the Holy Spirit, and immediately they come to life. Now, where else do we see that in sacred scripture? God giving that divine breath of life, and from that breath comes life itself. Well, how about Genesis chapter 2, verse 7? It says, "The Lord formed man out of clay from ground, blew into his nostrils, and from that breath of life, man became a living being." Now, appreciate the symbolism there. The Hebrew word for clay is adama. And see, God forms man out of adama, clay, and then breathes that divine breath of life into him. And from that, man comes alive. That's why the Hebrew word for man is Adam. From that breath of life, God turns adama into Adam, and all of humanity is created. That same thing is happening in today's gospel. Jesus gives the apostles that divine breath of life, the Holy Spirit, and now they come alive. They burst out of that upper room and begin to proclaim the gospel, and now our church is born. The same thing must hold true with us. At the time of our baptism, we received the Holy Spirit. We received that divine breath of life. It was breathed upon us, and we too came to life, into spiritual life. We began to participate in the life of Christ. That's why Paul says in Galatians, at the time of our baptism, we become grafted onto Jesus Christ. Now, a telltale sign of the Holy Spirit truly working within us is that people around us will see it. Our family, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, they will see the power of the Holy Spirit through our conduct, through our behavior. St. Teresa of Lisieux gives us that powerful quote. She says, "Each one of us ought to act as though the perfection of the church depends upon our own personal conduct." That's a powerful statement. I'll say that again. Each one of us ought to act as though the perfection of the church depends on our own personal conduct. Well, it's a very powerful and very clear statement. St. Therese puts everything into perspective. Our conduct, our behavior, reflects our authenticity if we are truly authentic disciples of Jesus Christ. Our everyday actions and words, our behavior, can deepen our awareness, our cooperation, and our participation in the divine life that God wants to share with us. And yet, just the opposite can hold true too. Our behavior, our actions and our words, if it's full of malice, if we're gossiping, promoting rumor or innuendo, if we're hurting people any way, shape, or form, that will distance our cooperation and our participation in the life of Christ. And so, what is our response to the Holy Spirit in our life? Well, it's to share the gifts we've been given for the edification of the church. See, that's what Paul is getting at in the second reading from Corinthians. He tells us that we have been all given gifts, and we must use them for building up the body of Christ. The apostles did just that. The first gift that they received was being able to speak in different languages. Now realize, the apostles were never trained or taught these different languages, and yet immediately, upon receiving the Holy Spirit, they could talk fluently in many of these different languages. And these languages were for people from all over the world. And so the apostles used them for the express purpose of drawing all the people back to God. And so must we. we, like the apostles, must use the gifts that we have been given to draw all people back to God. I'll give you some examples. Say you have the gift of teaching. You're a great teacher. Well, now volunteer to teach in your religious ed program, your faith formation program, whether it's for children, young adults, or adults, scripture study, whatever it is. See, if you use that gift in that way, you now speak the language of faith and catechesis. How about the gift of a compassionate heart? You enjoy visiting the sick and the shut-ins. Well, now that is your gift. So volunteer in your parish to visit the sick, those people in nursing homes and hospitals. See, when you do that, you now speak the language of comfort to people that are lonely and in despair. Maybe your gift is social justice, or you have a passion for social justice. Well, join organizations like the St. Vincent de Paul or a Respect Life organization, or maybe a meal program that goes and serves meals to the poor and the homeless. See, if you use that gift, you now speak the language of hope to people who feel nothing but hopelessness. See, when you use these gifts, you now cooperate with the Holy Spirit working in and through you. You, like the apostles, are now speaking languages that you never thought possible. You're speaking the language of faith and catechesis, the language of comfort, the language of hope. Languages that you never thought you would be able to speak before, well, now you are, like the apostles. And now, like the apostles, you are drawing people back to God. And see, when that happens, then you come alive and you stay alive because you are cooperating with the Holy Spirit and you are participating in the life of Christ. More to it, when you live your life in this way, the Holy Spirit has then put the finishing touches upon you. And like the apostles, you now become a masterpiece in the eyes of God. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.